This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
All right, welcome to the Ramon Foster Show, starring the one, the only. Look at that face over there. Look at that face. The one, the only, number 73 in your playbook, number one in your hearts. I'm going to keep going here.
11 years starting guard for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Keep going. Nah.
And then here he comes out of the tunnel, everybody. He's going to do the TJ leap. Oh, no. You still got a TJ leap in you, Mo.
Man, no, I got a TJ leg kick. That's all I got. I got a leg kick. That is it, man. As I click on the YouTube chat, by the way, like, subscribe, tell a friend, send it to your friends right now. Say, they're live. You've missed it. Screw work. They're live, okay? Like and subscribe, man. I see the numbers going up by the second. Thank y'all. Let's do this thing, DK.
Yeah. Are we ready to do the thing?
Oh, let's do the thing because you posted a comment that pretty much says.
Oh, I'm ready for that comment. Here we go.
Here's the bell.
Man, we are going to play a small violin for anybody who's wasting anybody's breath talking about Justin Fields. Okay?
You see me?
It ain't happening, kids. Let's start with the ending first, okay? It ain't happening. Moan, Justin Fields has played 40 games in the National Football League.
Yeah.
He has. Are you ready for this?
Talk to me nicely, DK.
38 fumbles in 40 games. 30 interceptions in 40 games. That's a Mike Tomlin kind of quarterback, huh?
Not when he tells us you carry our hopes and dreams with you when you carry that football.
Oh, is that what he says to you?
That's okay. What he says.
You actual
DK.
Person in the locker room? That's
yes.
What he said? Okay.
I don't care if it's the snap. I don't care if it's the quarterback throwing it. I don't care what it is. You carry our hopes and dreams. And if you're a fumble machine, that ain't ever that good, DK.
I got to tell you, first off, there's a couple of misunderstandings that have led to the report. It's not even reporting. It's just this thing becoming something that people talk about because they're bored. Okay.
Okay.
Can I get any of these, Moan? Is that all right?
Go ahead. Do your thing. Absolutely.
Right. Art Rooney did a series of interviews. He started with us, the writers, and then he kind of branched out a little bit. He did one in the morning with WTAE TV with Andrew Stocky. Okay. And he said something to the effect of, and this is a very general Steelers-type line, that they would be looking for everywhere from quarterbacks, including possibly via trade. Okay, why would he rule that out, right?
Yeah, that's very true.
Okay, later in the same afternoon, he's doing another interview with Bob Pompiani at KDKA-TV, also just one-on-one, just camera and reporter. And he said, listen, I think some stuff's being taken. Okay.
Out of context here.
Too far here, okay?
Yeah.
Do not expect any kind of significant trade from the outside. Okay? This was from the owner of the franchise.
Yeah.
But all anybody heard was the first part, and all that went viral was the first part, and nobody bothered with the second part, which was infinitely more representative of what's actually occurring inside the four walls. Because when Mike Tomlin was asked if his 2024 quarterback is already in the building, what was his answer?
He said yes.
He said yes.
Yeah. Yep, he did.
Okay, so we could end this conversation right here, but we won't. I'm going to throw this one at you, Moan. You've been to combines. You've been part of a combine.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter says the other day, Mike Tomlin really likes Justin Fields. You know why? Because he was all over Fields at the Ohio State Pro Day. He was loving him. He was, please take the stage here and tell everybody what Tomlin does at these settings.
Here, it's a lot behind Tomlin in those settings. Tomlin likes to see everybody win, meaning individually. Mano a mano, team to team, the labor of competing, screw you. That's just where, yeah, he has an appreciation for players that at certain positions, not all positions, that are real good at their craft and their respect the game. He always does this at those pro days and at those combines. He's pulled the switcheroo on a lot of folks a lot of other times where he's loved guys before. And here's the other thing, too, about Justin Fields is he's in a very unique situation to where he's a young black quarterback that's trying to make it happen from Ohio State. He's followed him through high school. He understands what he is. And you just kind of say to yourself, I'm a fan of how you play football. And Coach Tomlin does that stuff from time to time. You guys have seen the famous Marshawn Lynch conversation that he had. He's done the thing with Carlos Dunlap.
He just did it in Mobile.
He
lined up. I don't remember their names. He walked right out onto the field behind that wide receiver and the defensive back. Moan, he might have been a foot and a half behind the wide receiver's back heel.
He does this, and I don't.
He loves it.
He loves the evaluation aspect of it, of watching guys be put in situations. And some of them you're going to be attracted to, and you like some of them. I will 100% agree. He probably has said to himself, boy, if we get an opportunity, I would. You know, but he does that with a lot of guys, though, and a lot of guys like being around Coach Tomlin in that same aspect, too. One of the things that was said down there was the big D tackle that I like, Tavondre Sweat out of Texas, the big prospect, right? The big D tackle that we talked about. He was raving about Coach Tomlin talking to him also. That might be because Coach Tomlin either thinks we may get a guy like this, or I'm going to probably see that guy in the future, and I need to know all kind of intel. I will tell you this. NFL coaches – because there's not a whole lot of a changeover from year to year. They just acquire so much intel when it comes down to people and guys they're going to run across, especially if you're one of those types of players, right? And I think coming out, Justin Fields was perceived to be one of those types of players. So, of course, there is a love affair for a guy like him. But I can do that from a distance. If y'all were ever... in our scout meetings on Wednesday, our meetings on Wednesdays when we do the big.
Most of these people haven't been, Moan.
They haven't. let me tell you how Coach Tomlin fans out for certain guys.
Okay.
Bobby Wagner.
I know this story. It's great. Go ahead.
Bobby Wagner. He will lay out his entire just resume of what he's done, how good he was, how they recruited him, his profile coming out in college, and everything he's done, every single thing he's done almost from game to game, just to show you his appreciation of how he feels about that player, okay? And it's so in-depth that you're almost like, dang, Coach T, don't you know we got to play against him? Like, it almost becomes – it upsets you somewhat, which is what he wants you to do also. And I'll say this, too. If there has been somebody to throw something out there from Coach Tomlin, it wasn't Jay Glazer, but if he has done something like that, it wasn't for that specific guy. If the rumors are coming out, it's probably for a guy like Kenny to tell him get his stuff together. It's probably to Mason to say, Mason, we got options if you don't want to do business the right way with us. This isn't just a right now Justin Field thing. And here's the other side, too. The Vegas odds on this, and I had one of my Bears buddy who's trying to ship off Justin Fields send me this. Raiders are plus 1,200. Commanders plus 1,200. Broncos, Patriots 650. Falcons plus 600. Bears, he can go back there for plus 200 for the people that understand that. And the favorites are the Steelers at minus 125. That's where this is coming from. If you want to go put some money on Justin Fields coming to Pittsburgh, you're either going to feel satisfied. Get a membership. You're either going to be satisfied that you scratched that itch, or you're going to be mad that you lost your bet. But either way, I'm going to be sitting here, DK, doing this at the end.
Yeah, you are. We're not even into stupid season yet, and this is stupid.
The season of lies. We're here already.
The whole thing is stupid. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mo.
No, I was just going to say this, too, before you go. Here's the thing, though, too. I will give Justin Fields a lot of grace. I think Justin Fields has a tremendous amount of talent. Three coordinators in 3 years. Chicago is a terrible team. I think they're stacking up something to get them somewhere, and I don't know if that involves Justin Fields or what, but Justin Fields, to me, still will generate a very high draft pick for a team that has specific needs like a corner. We've talked about a tackle. We've talked about another wide receiver, right? Another D tackle has been in the conversation. A middle linebacker, off-ball linebacker, whatever you want to ask for. It's hard to operate when you're buying everybody else's used goods.
The whole thing is so preposterous. It just, and on top of that, again, it flies in the face of things that we actually know. But what happens is someone will cherry pick the single most sensational aspect of it, and that's what goes viral. And then you have all of these page, literal page click chasers who jump on it, put headlines, and then you'll see, and this is what you're seeing today on social media, is, oh, the buzz is growing, it's building, there's more people talking about it. That makes it not one tiny bit any more true than it was in the first place. Okay? Where Mason is concerned, that was the Sunday morning thing. Okay, the Super Bowl Sunday was that Mason Rudolph is ready for a fresh start. That's the signals that are being sent, meaning he wants to get out of Pittsburgh. Now, Moan, how could they have found out? What secret way could they have utilized to find out that that isn't true? What clever methodology could they have used?
They could have used the internet, couldn't they?
They could have watched you.
I mean, well.
Okay.
I was trying to be humble there, DK.
To this day, it's the only interview Mason's done since the season ended. What did he say on here?
He said he'd love to be back, but of course he got to let the business do what the business is going to do.
That's it.
And that's the reality of it, too. Like, I will continually say, this is just new because you don't have a guy, right? Like, Seven's not there. And you want to have another conversation, DK? You want to revisit real quick, because there was a lot of people saying Kenny is the guy. But lo and behold, some big networks call out Justin Fields to be the guy. Nobody's mentioning Kenny no more. But when it comes down to somebody else's used goods as far as Justin Fields, and yes, he's younger, okay? Yes, he's from a new team. You don't know a lot about him. Yes, he was a top 10 pick. But you had a guy in your building, right? Do some really good things for your team at the end of the year. And it's hard to believe that Mason can be your dude. You see what I'm getting at?
It's more believable from Justin than it is
from Mason.
And the only words you see here are upside and potential and stuff like that. This isn't a science project here, everybody. Okay? This is a head coach who's presiding over a group to whom he feels a commitment, and especially people like a T.J. Watt and a Cam Hayward and Minkah Fitzpatrick, where he wants to win them a championship, and you're going to bring in a quarterback who turns the ball over twice a game as a slam dunk, 26 fumbles in his last 20 games alone? He can't hold on to the ball.
What
good's the mobility?
And the other side of that, too, is they've, I think, allowed Justin to try to figure out what he's going to do. I remember earlier parts of the 2023 season, the one that just finished up, and he was just saying, man, I'm thinking too much. Like, I'm going to just do me this game. And they allowed him to do him over the course of a few weeks, and they still lost games, DK. Like, I ain't saying he's not a talent. I'm not saying – I don't know what he's going to look like, what he would look like in Arthur Smith's offense. If he does just so happen to come here, it needs to be nothing more than like a fifth round or lower, DK. I'm talking about fifth, sixth, seventh rounder, because there's too much risk and the rewards for him is way too high for you to be a team or organization to be playing that type of game. You know, like that's what gets it to me. You have more stability than you're giving yourself credit for. Like, do you see Baltimore making these types of moves? Like, this type of scrambling and searching for a franchise quarterback is very Cleveland of y'all to be asking this type of stuff. I ain't even wrong on that, man. Like,
he just dunked on everybody watching this.
DK, it is. Like, it's very Cleveland of you. Like, go get your guy through the draft, and you know he fits your DNA. Like, I would love to see Justin Fields get in an offense and prosper. I just don't know if that's for Pittsburgh. I just don't know if you're willing to do that when he's probably only got 1 year left before you got to commit that fifth-year option. I don't know if you want to do that when he's gone through three different offensive coordinators in 3 years, and this will be a fourth one if he comes to Pittsburgh. I don't know if you're telling me that they hadn't tried to surround him with weapons. Heck, they gave a Kings – well, they ended up taking DJ – what's the wide receiver he threw to last year? Golly, give me one sec. They traded for a high caliber wide receiver this past year. It's not like DJ Moore. Like, he has his guys. Like, when you watch his play, he has the tools. He has the mobility to move around the league and get out of bad situations. But you got to ask yourself, have you seen these types of games out of him in his 3 years he's been in the NFL? And the answer is probably no. Again, 60% for his career so far. 40 touchdowns, 30 interceptions.
I don't even think this is interesting. Honestly, I hate the fact that we wasted a segment on it, but, you know.
No, I love it. I'm going to be real with you. I like that.
Yeah, I think at least it gives us a chance to clear some things up. And meaning from the Steelers' own perspective, this is stuff, this isn't, some of this is inside information or whatever. Some of this is stuff that Ramon got from his interview with Mason, okay? But most of it's just out there. You know, yeah. You know, heavy duty insider stuff. It's just a matter of being honest with you.
Do I believe that there isn't a world where you can upgrade the quarterback position? Yes, I do. Do I also believe that, look, Kenny will probably be given a fair shot? Yeah. Do I think if they sign Mason Rudolph back, he will be given a fair shot? I think yes also, but it also has to show in his pockets too. And then the other side of this is, we talked about it yesterday, DK, when it comes down to winning a Super Bowl. Like, again, give me a second. Post-Ben, we need to get away from thinking we got to be quick with this thing. You had years between Cordell and Neil O'Connell before you got to Ben, right?
Yes.
So,
And a lot of other guys.
and I know Kansas City's doing their thing, and everybody think they have their Brock Purdy, or it's so fast. Look at what Cleveland's done. Miami's trying to make it work with Tua. You got Buffalo, who's probably closing their window with Josh Allen before they even get started. They can't get over the hump. So when it comes down to you trying to search for somebody else to fill that void at quarterback, maybe it's just not that right now. Like, again, I'm joking when I say this, but that's very Cleveland of us to want to live a life like that.
Yeah, that's really, really good. Very Cleveland of us is going to end up being the title of this particular episode. I just motioned over to the boss there. Very Cleveland of us. When we come back.
Disrespectfully, I say that too, because it's
I know that. Yeah, that's the best part of it. When we come back, we're going to get to the only segment that actually matters.
Yes, hey, Mom, bring it back. We'll smile next time.
Yeah, we will.
At DK Pittsburgh Sports, we take pride in coverage that connects our city's fans to their favorite teams. Now, that connection's stronger than ever. Introducing our all-new state-of-the-art app. Find expert inside reporting and original podcasts. Check live box scores. Track the latest stats. Chat it up with our community of thousands of fans, all in one place. The new app from DK Pittsburgh Sports. Coverage that connects.
I like this. I like this whole episode, actually.
I'm sorry, Dean. That was right. Dean said, Al Schmoan, that was harsh. No, we... hey, look, I'm going to say, Julio, my bad. If we're going to say in the locker room the standard is the standard, but they don't meet it sometimes, well, doggone it, we at least need to meet that standard when we're being fans about it, man. Like, I feel y'all. I do. Heck, I'm in the same boat with you. And here's the thing, too. I don't want y'all to believe I'm champion Mason either. Because here's the thing, too, DK. When it comes down to Mason making that decision for him, this has to be his money play. This has to be a situation where opportunity really meets him at the right spot.
And it really did. There's so much sweet spot to what happened to him at the end of the season. It's funny, even his teammates, I mean, we can joke about this now, but even his teammates were kind of teasing a little bit about that. Like, every single completion. Who was it that was telling me?
Oh, cha-ching.
Miles Boykin. He was saying something along those lines. He's just like, every pass he completes, you got to understand, he's making money here.
He is. And I say that because here's the thing. In those exit meetings with Coach Tomlin and Omar, or when I was with Kev, like, and Omar was more on the backside behind Kev when it came down to, you know, discussing contracts and stuff. They'll all tell guys this. Hey, look, I want to do business with you. But if there's an opportunity that's far better than ours, you have to take it. This is a very short window for every person inside that locker room, even the premier A players that we deem, right? Even Cam's in that situation where he's got to decide what's next. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's where it sits when it comes down to making this type of decision in the offseason. He has to maximize. And I will say this too to Justin Fields. Justin, if I was you, go somewhere that you know you can build with somebody that's going to have a stable offensive coordinator and head coach that will also pick up your fifth-year option. Because if it's not, you know what he turns into? Jameis Winston.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah. You know I think Jameis was even better with this one.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, at least Jameis – never mind. But you turn into this if you don't make the smart next decision.
No, that's some pretty good stuff there. Nathaniel says, haven't had a chance to watch you guys live in a while. Hope everybody's doing well. It's nice to hear from you.
What's going on, baby?
It's nice to hear from you. Mark Lancaster insists that there's no Cleveland in him. Jim approves of your assessment. And Reg is just impressed with your honesty. I think that's what he's saying there.
You ain't got a lot of kick it, baby. I'm telling you.
I can't do that.
You ain't got a lot of kick it, man. That's just all it is. And maybe that was saying that I wasn't rooting for Mason. I'm rooting for Mason anywhere he goes. The same way, by the way, Chuk's situation. We ain't even talk about that yet. Okay, go ahead.
We've had some stuff here. Hand over fist says Chuk's is gone. Be careful what you say around your boss. For anybody who doesn't know, Chooks, he wanted the Steelers to, or at least wanted the Steelers to entertain the idea of kneeling out whenever they still had a mathematical chance to be in a game. He wanted them to kneel, and that did not sit well with his head coach.
Did not. I've conversated with my guys of recently, man. I'll say this. I just think it probably ran its course with what his expectation was and what theirs was, and he didn't meet him professionally. Chooks got some rehab to do, too. He has to. I don't know if that means a one-year deal somewhere with somebody to prove that he loves the game.
Oh, that's what you mean. I thought you meant he was hurt. Yeah. Like,
career rehab to do.
Okay, got it.
Because that word is softly out there, and people who will ask the question about Chooks will ask him, do you love the game? Because of how that conversation was perceived to go. I don't know what Coach Tomlin, Omar, Pat Meyer is going to say about Chooks to those other teams that call, and they will call and inquire about him. But here's the thing. He's excited for it. What's next? As far as NFL business goes, he's a free agent right before one of the most important business meetings that's going to happen, and that's the NFL Combine. I told him, I was like, man, it sucks with how it broke down, but between your agent and the NFL Combine, you'll know where you sit moving forward. You know, and he's excited for it. The thing about Chooks, he can play. He has a athletic ability that's outside of this world. When my last 2 years, it was said inside, Chooks is probably the best athlete in the room. And I don't even think it was close.
He's as close as the Steelers have. It's funny, when we talk about great football players, we talk about T.J. Watt, you talk about Minka Fitzpatrick, guys that legitimately fit the Cam Hayward, the guys that fit the bill for great. When you guys in the locker room talk about freaks, you talk about different things.
Yeah.
Okay? I've noticed that over the years. Okay, so you would mention, here's Chooks. Chooks isn't even built necessarily like an offensive lineman.
No.
He carries that weight as if he just rolled out of the womb with it.
315, easy.
Yeah.
Easy. And moves like I thought Gil was athletic. Gil don't get enough credit for his athleticism. But Chooks has more athleticism. So I'll say this. I don't know what Coach Pat Meyer is on a day-to-day. I don't. But I'll say this. When Chooks possibly became the older guy, there was a little bit of, hey, you need to find out a way to, you know, make me respect you factor. When Munch was there, we got the best out of Chooks. Did we not? The pressure that we put on him. And I think he's going to need somebody like that that's able to dive into him and say, hey, this is how we do work, and these are our expectations moving forward. And I'll tell him that whenever we have that conversation over the phone. It just comes that simple. Like, he has to rehab his career.
Chooks, man. You know, all he has to do is finish.
Finish.
I hate to oversimplify because I know there's a lot more to the position than that, but you've said this yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll start a blocking sequence as well as anybody.
Yeah.
And then he just says, well, I'm done.
Yeah. But you know, see, what happened when he was playing with us, he get cussed out for that.
Yeah, who's going to do that on this group?
You know, like me, myself. Come on, Chokes. Like that type of stuff. And some players are like that. But here's the thing. Had he had that drive and finish, or he was, you know, a name guy, pro bowler already, you make exceptions. But there's also an expectation that has to be held, especially when a new group that they had and a young group that they had inside of that O-line room.
There's also, you know, Presley Harvin to discuss as well. Robert Tucker says, what would two offensive linemen, two defensive linemen, a wide receiver, and a punter do for us? Do you trust Omar and company to get it done? Let's start with Presley. This is a wonderful kid, okay? And I understand why Mike Tomlin became as attached to him, meaning, you know, off the field and everything, as he did. And you've seen that happen, too. He will do the whole father figure thing for some guys. And Presley, of course, lost his father. While a Steeler. None of this should excuse, and obviously does not excuse, the inconsistencies of the punting. But, man, this one kind of stinks.
Yeah. I'm a little bit more detached than DK from this one. I had long conversation with Presley, though, when I was up there for that Thursday night game. I think he's good. But when you look at the inconsistencies, that is one way to kind of move yourself out. And he is another guy that finds himself in a situation that's going to be able to go try out for other teams, too.
Yeah, and one other thing to remember, and I don't ever make light of anybody's role on a football team. There's 53 guys. All 53 have to do their jobs. And if anybody needs an example of that, look at the impact that Kansas City's special teams had on Sunday. I thought they might have outdone everybody else with the way they performed. Is that Presley Harvin was considered to be an elite holder. Like, he did some really special things at holding for Chris Boswell. Boz will be the first, and Christian Kuntz will be the second, to tell you that makes a big difference in both of their lives and both of their own performances. So if you're going to praise Boz, make sure you're praising the guy who's setting him up for him, too. And
here's another thing, too, DK. Don't be surprised if there's an adjustment period for Boz and his new holder also.
Oh, and forgivable. I mean, it's not – you can do that a million times in Latrobe and on the south side, and it's not the same – when you make it out into that stadium. One of the ones that stands out for me, I don't want to bore everybody here with a hold for a kick, but in Baltimore, when the weather was just absolutely abysmal, and the worst weather I've ever covered a game in, okay, that wet rain and everything that was coming down, and Boz needed a kick to win the game, and the ball came out badly out of Christian Kuntz's hand, and the next thing you know, everything's set up. Boz puts it through. Afterward, I go to the two of them. They happen to be sitting next to each other, holder and punter. Not holder and punter, snapper and punter.
Yeah, snapper, punter,
and holder. I say to Presley, I said, you know, what'd you have to go through to hold that thing still? He's impressed that anybody noticed. Okay.
Yeah.
And he begins talking, and Kuntz interrupts from the next stall and says, I mean, he just had to bail me out. That was like the worst snap of my life. And he said, that's why this guy is the best in the business.
Oh, man.
So don't always think that these things are, you know, if that kick doesn't go through and the Steelers don't win and they don't make the playoffs, blah, 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 all of a sudden the job seems really important. Just a point to make here. That's all.
By the way, DK, go snapper, holder, kicker. You want snapper, punter, kicker. I just want to, you know, make sure you're up on football stuff. Yeah. And let me clear up something real quick, too. Just real quick. S4000, what up? You've been in here numerous times before. What's going on? Oh, he goes, good. The Sooks love that's football. Good. Not trying to be disrespectful to him, but players play the game for different reasons. I'll say this. I know he does. And you know I know he does because I talk to Chooks. Okay? I'll say this. Winning covers a lot. We just had that conversation, did we not? And losing and the up and down flow of not either being able to run the ball, operate as an offense. And of course, whatever we think we were hearing in the media or with DK, you know, would hear around Pittsburgh as it pertains to that team. Imagine what the guys inside the building were probably dealing with. Again, where there's smoke sometimes, there's usually a little bit of a fire, even if it's a little kindling fire, like just a little brush fire, right? So I don't know what his relationship or respect factor was for Matt Canada. I don't know what it was for his position coach, but I'll say when you lose or you don't have a consistency of winning, this type of stuff show up to certain type of players. It doesn't mean he doesn't love it, right? But there is a conversation to be had. I can deal with a lot of bull crap if we're winning, i.e. New England, right? That's how it works when you win. This franchise down here in Nashville, they dealt with a lot of the stuff that's being reported behind Vrabel because they were winning more. When you lose 2 years in a row, that type of toleration goes down. So the same goes for players. Like it, some are just wired different. You can put some dudes in a room by themselves and they'll play football by themselves. But some need the crowd. Some need to hear you're good. Some need good plays. Some don't need you to coach them hard as they coach somebody else. So that's no excuse. I know he loves it, but dudes are wired differently when it comes down to that type of stuff. It's weird. Don't ask me how I've dealt with all types of dudes like that.
What happens to Dan Moore now, Moan? That's a good question. It's from CT here. What happens to him? Is this an endorsement of Moore? Does this mean he's going to move to the right side?
We don't,
you know,
and that's the biggest question. It's made room for Dan Moore.
Can he become a swing guy? And you go and you get a right tackle. Right tackles are expensive.
It's hard to go from being a full time starter DK to a role player unless you're older in age.
Oh, okay.
They either have to cut him, or he's had a conversation that says, "At 2 weeks after the Super Bowl, I'll start my training on the right side." It's that simple for me. Like, if Dan Moore doesn't realize he's deposited a crap ton of money into the emotional banks of Omar, Kev, and his teammates, Omar, Coach T, and his teammates, then something's wrong. Like, I've inboxed him before. It's been a while since we've talked, me and Dan Moore. I would tell him, man, oatmeal's better than no meal unless you know you got a feast on the other side. Meaning, it's going to suck to play right tackle for a little bit.
Yeah.
But you know, with nobody behind you, it's yours. Would you rather play or go prove yourself on a 1 year deal at another team? Like, that's just the reality. Draft the right tackle. Y'all want to make Dan Morris being bad. He ain't bad. He's just not.
It's fair. Okay. And I don't know that Dan would disagree if he was here with us right now with any of this. Okay. He's tough on himself. He's fair about his own performance. He's honest. He's not one of those guys. And you know who I'm talking about in general.
Yeah.
Those guys who just think that everything that they do is perfect. I cover them in all three sports.
Yeah.
That's not a way to get better. I just feel like, you know, where he's concerned, I feel like that his spot is even more of a variable than center. I know everybody's riding Mason Cole over the bad snaps and his own inconsistent blocking. I was a lot more concerned about left tackle, and I want to solve that by moving Broderick Jones over there because that's where he wants to be.
Yeah. So I just pulled up PFF's grades on him from my coworker's account, okay?
Okay.
And they gave him a 51 overall.
I just thought you had to qualify that it was your coworker's account because you couldn't give them a penny. I love this. You're the best. Don't think you were going to get away with that not being called out.
Okay. All right. You're better than this, DK. You're better. You didn't have to call me out.
But
I can admit I'm not, okay? I ain't going to say that. From my cohort. Here's the thing on Dan Moore. I know we all play both sides of how this stuff goes, but we're the same ones yesterday, 2 days ago, over the weekend, upset, mad, that PFF somewhat justified Myles Garrett's defensive player of the year and TJ Watt got snubbed. Okay. When it comes down to the justification of what they say, which is what a lot of people are saying, the PFF is the justification of Dan Moore playing bad. Again, we've talked about this. When I know where my quarterback's going to be at, then it's easier for me to block for him. In that Super Bowl, a walking gold jacket guy like Trent Williams gave up a hold or a sack in the Super Bowl because Brock Purdy rolled out of the pocket. Immediately, I looked to my brother. I said, that's why you don't roll out of the pocket right there, because me blocking, I don't know where you're going.
I know exactly the play you're referring to. He ended up getting two penalties on that drive, and it was just like, wait a second. You understand this is Trent Williams, right? Okay.
So if we had discussions about Kenny Pickett staying in the pocket.
Yes.
And not rolling out. And PFF's generated 8 sacks allowed for what's his name, Dan Moore, right? Then why are we putting more stock in? Y'all believing holistically that Dan Moore sucks when we don't believe they were right about Myles Garrett and TJ Watt. How are we going to play both sides? You know what I'm saying? Like, how are we going to play both sides of these things when it comes down to the justification of one, but it doesn't justify the other? So either PFF is all the way right or all the way wrong when it comes down to them saying that Dan –
I have noticed cherry picking – What people pluck from PFF to bolster their own argument. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure I've probably done it myself, where I'll say, hey, by the way, PFF gave this guy a great grade, and I wrote a column yesterday saying this guy was great, so there's some support for it.
But I always do it to mock, though, too, because when it comes down to availability, Dan Moore is always there. When it comes down to knowing that when you had a quarterback that was in the pocket, he was better. When Mason stood tall, he was better. And we've praised this dude for the last 3 years, except for the second time he played Myles Garrett this year. He's been the Myles Garrett killer. Have we not said that on this podcast, and we've seen this fan base talk about that?
That was true up until this season.
This season right here. Yes. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. So, I'm a firm believer that, look, if he submitted himself to changing and being a better right tackle than left, fine. Again, he costs you nothing to get rid of, and he's very cheap when it comes down to keeping him and moving him over to right tackle, too. Or bringing somebody and have a free-for-all for that position.
We have more questions. Melissa wants to know.
I went off today.
Hey, Moan, what do you think about all that Travis Kelce stuff at the Super Bowl with Andy Reid? So disrespectful. I figured he probably won't even get a fine.
Thank you.
I mean, I don't know if you find somebody after a Super Bowl.
He won't find him. Apparently, that's their relationship. I said it personally. I don't like it. I did not like it whatsoever. Yeah. Andy Reid came out and said if he'd have had his feet under, he'd have pushed them back. But he didn't. He caught him off guard. My thing was this. Travis Kelce was tired on the sideline on one knee with his helmet off when that play happened. You were gassed. You're supposed to trust your teammates in that moment to sub in for you. If you didn't want to come out and that play when you knew it was a running play. He's 30-plus years old. He probably sent in a young tight end, young fella, go get him. Fella dropped on his block, and he created a fumble. Do you blame that tight end that lost his man who blocked him to a point, or do you blame Isaiah Pacheco for not holding the ball up? It's twofold, and none of it had nothing to do with Travis Kelce. Absolutely none of it.
On top of that, you know, when somebody comes in and takes your place – and this is in the Pittsburgh environment, and you have the whole standard is the standard thing going on.
Yeah,
don't show them up.
Don't.
Okay, that's like if you're the best defensive player in the world, and I'm referring, of course, to TJ Watt.
Yeah,
and he comes off the field. Nick Herbig or Marcus Golden goes on the field. I mean, cheer him on. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, support them because they're supporting you when they're on the sideline.
And that's what that was, DK. I didn't like it, Melissa. I didn't. If Andy had to push him back, I'd have probably understood it more. But Andy looked like, what the hell are you doing? Because he almost toppled over a little bit,
yeah,
man.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know what makes what smooths it over is that they won. And Andy and him can laugh about it.
Yeah, it actually, I think it kills it.
Yeah.
You know, if they had lost, then it would be – then he's losing his mind. He's got the girlfriend country music star who's distracting him.
All
and all this other stuff would have happened. And I guess to an extent, we should be glad that it didn't. Ben says, hey, Moan, does having Dan Moore allow the Steelers to go out and draft the best position available in the first round and take advantage of the inexperience but potential in Amarius Mims?
I got another one. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, the guy that is a primary right tackle that sits in that 20 spot, if we're looking to upgrade that and kind of make him battle it out and do the same thing with Broderick Moore that you did this year, Broderick Jones that you did this year, is going to be Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma.
Yeah, you like him.
It ain't is, but it's this part. He's a former tight end playing right tackle. I think he's moved himself into 16 to 20. When it comes down to you drafting a guy like him, they moved him over to the left side at the Senior Bowl, non-existent. Yeah, like it's like, who the heck is this guy? Okay. But at right tackle, where he sits at, or primarily, I can see if you want to upgrade right there, that would be solid. But again, Dan Moore's probably going to start the season off the same way that Chooks and Dan Moore did this year as it pertains to Broderick Jones. There is a growth aspect of this game too, y'all, that you have to understand. And here's the thing I would say about Tyler Guyton. He's got to drop his stance just a little bit. He probably got to get just a little bit bulky. And here's the other portion of it for me. I don't know, but we'll see what type of offense Arthur Smith wants to run. I don't know if he's an AFC North tackle, if that makes sense.
Does it have to?
You can make anybody an AFC. You can make anybody fit into a system. But if we're talking about, are we going to give him a year to grow? Or do you want him to start right now? Those are the two questions. Because he's a little bit more slender. Look at the tackles in the AFC North. Just think about him for a second. Bigger, bulkier guys. Orlando Brown Jr. Ronnie Stanley is a thicker dude. The right tackle's huge in Baltimore. Cleveland's got a big left and right tackle. Think about it. You fit and draft for your division first.
You know, when we make an error on this show, we will fess up to it. I refer to Taylor Swift as a country music singer.
Pop.
Yeah, that's pop, I guess. Pop.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I haven't heard enough of it to know.
That's why it didn't bother me talking about her for the Super Bowl. She's not in my Rolodex like that.
I don't have an opinion.
I'm going to see if I have one Taylor Swift song in my library.
There's no way that you do. What would you have? You can't even I can name one. I can name Shake It Off, and that's it. I can't name another song.
You know who I have?
Huh?
This rapper by the name of B.O.B. featuring Taylor Swift. Name of the song is called Both of Us.
A lady with blonde hair, just like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that's why I didn't bother. It's Both of Us is the name of the song by this rapper from Atlanta named B.O.B. featuring Taylor Swift. That's the only track I got.
I'm sure that I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear whatever country.
B.O.B.'s good. You like B.O.B.
Okay.
He plays instruments.
What gets mixed here? Does she rap? Does she rap too?
I never even heard that song. I downloaded his album and probably listened to his hits. But
see, according to Ash, who's rushing to my defense here, she started out country. I don't know that either, but Ash is never wrong.
I mean,
you guys are like the dads that would walk 10 steps behind the daughters for the country.
That'll be enough out of the gallery over there.
Hey,
Mike claims to never have heard Shake It Off. Come on.
You know the songs, You Got Nothing on You, Baby, with Bruno Mars. That's B.O.B.'s song.
Okay.
So that's like B.O.B.'s genre. Yeah,
she likes it.
That's a really good song.
Yeah, that's a really good song right there, DK. You like that one with Bruno Mars.
He also heard it 100 times because I played it in
show. Oh, no, no. I'm not claiming to not have heard it. I've heard it. I recognize it because in hockey arenas, they play these things nonstop. And, you know, and you're stuck there. And no matter how powerful, and I've got some powerful headphones, and I've got good music going on in my headphones. You know, I'm thrashing out to Dead Kennedys and Sex Pistols, right? And then and there's this other noise that just seeps through every once in a while.
Now you got
bad music. It's music you like and music you don't like. You can't call it good just because you like.
Who invite? We're just gonna bring her onto the show. She wants to take it over.
Tell them, Dolly.
I don't want to be in a show. I just don't appreciate, you know, labeling music good or bad just because you like it or don't. It's like food. This food is bad, which basically is like 90% of the food because he doesn't eat it. Not okay.
Robert also claiming to never have heard Shake It Off. Come on. I mean, I don't go that far.
Yeah. Hey, DK, now all these Taylor Swift songs are coming in.
You guys are like those dads. I watched Walk Around twice this summer when Taylor Swift had two concerts here. There were decked up girls, you know, bracelets, outfits, and you just,
Tell the whole story though. She tried to lure these Swifties in off of Fifth Avenue as they were walking by playing Taylor Swift music on our system.
It did not work at all.
Why didn't it work? Who turned it off?
No, that's not why. Because you were not here the whole time.
Uh huh. Who turned it off? I know the story.
It didn't work because the 12-year-olds who came to see Taylor Swift did not know what the Steelers were. But the dad with a gut and the head down, walking 10 feet behind.
She was like,
DK. Oh, I love it, man. Way to keep him in check, Dolly. Way to keep him in check. This is the perfect time, DK.
So in conclusion, just because he likes it doesn't make it good music or bad music.
Now, take that, DK.
Well, no, take this, Jim. There's people who just get triggered by the words Taylor Swift now, and it's hilarious.
It's crazy.
They hear the words and they go, ah! Jim's one of those. Look at Jim down
there. It's by far.
Jim, I think, was just being funny.
Yeah, well, no. Jim's having a rough time with this right now.
No, I'm with you, Jim.
Jim's wondering if he should ever watch his show again.
I just think everybody should have a rough time with this.
We got a bigger issue on our hands, though.
What's that?
Joseph has been adamant, man. We got like 950 people in here and only 16 likes.
Oh, we have to have more than 16 likes. Those don't get updated regularly. What do you see?
I kid. I just want everybody to go like, subscribe.
Yeah, go do that anyway, actually.
Yeah, do that anyway, DK.
You know?
But yeah, I'm with Brian, okay? Like, shake it off and let's talk some Steeler football. Okay, but whoa. Nah, dog, they're doing it on their own. You need a bandana on your head, DK.
He always sits too close so it doesn't fit his head. Back
I think it's perfect.
Here, look.
Here we go. Right there.
Is that good?
Dog, come on, DK. We gotta get your vocabulary together, man. We gotta get your vocabulary.
Look at Jim. Jim's having a rough time. Oh no! Wait, were you ready for another one? Look at Norm. Norm is. You mentioned those two words.
Oh me, oh my.
People, don't be so easily triggered.
Yeah,
you know?
Please don't.
It's
man.
It's not an attractive trait.
She didn't bother me whatsoever.
No, why would she bother anybody? What does she do to anybody?
Yeah. Either way, that's what it's going to be like this offseason whenever it boils down to trying to get Justin Fields in Pittsburgh, DK.
Yeah, which is not happening.
Why? Because Mr. Rooney said it. Tiss, 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 y'all. We got to be a little bit better than that. Don't be Cleveland-like, man. Don't be Cleveland-like.
Exactly. All right, guys, we'll be right back in however long that outro takes. It's just a few seconds. I remember those.
Brought the glasses back. You know what's crazy about me wearing these glasses? I am blind as a bat without my contacts or glasses on. I can't even see the words on the screen right now, DK. But I'm here for it, though.
C-Note says, this show must be members only. Post y'all talk about been on here for months and not one that what I ask or say ever gets acknowledged.
C-Note, what are you talking about, man? It's 900 people in here. Send us something real quick. What's going on?
There's a lot
C-Note,
of
don't be
here.
Like that, man. Come on, C-Note Stacks. You better than that.
C-Note's bitter that, yeah, he's yelling over from the uncle's table. We haven't mentioned this in a while, but the way to become a member on this show is to go to dkps.net/join. It costs like, oh, see, there's no sympathy if you don't join. Look at the sad little music that gets played for the people
who
don't join.
You can't even hear the music because it's so small.
You guys literally do answer questions.
We always answer questions. Now, I might go on a tangent and we don't get as many questions as we want to. But we're going to always bring stuff up. I saw this one was pretty unique, man. What was that? Hey, Moan, what do you think about Micah Parsons saying TJ Watt is not a top five rusher? You know why? Because TJ rushes over the right side mostly. They don't look at TJ's production as that way. When they realize he's getting double teamed, triple teamed, chipped, and everything else, like he can't say that. Again, I'm telling y'all right now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I hate that type of stuff. Micah Parsons win the Defensive Player of the Year next year. Book it.
Oh, because of the lineage and the it's his turn.
It's his
turn.
Yeah,
that's how that goes. By the way, if you want to just see the whole membership thing, Rochelle takes care of a lot of people.
Just,
okay,
start the Rochelle today too.
So come on in and just make sure you hit accept gifts.
Where's my guy Stacks at?
He's really mad.
Yeah, come on, see no Stacks. No, I was looking for you. That's the most. I mean, that's just like Usher doing a Super Bowl for like $621. He's making millions now. Like, you got a bigger impression by you saying that. I get it now.
That's Wait a second. Right he got there. Paid $600.
Essentially, that's what it is. It's like $600. But the advertising and streams that have come from afterwards, they said his valuation is probably like $50+ million or more from his album, his release.
Who actually pays the $600? That's all I care about.
I think it's like $1,100. That's allotted to him. Like, seriously. But they also give him a $15 million budget for their set.
See, if you give me $15 million for my set, like, I come out with like a stool, pajamas, and an acoustic guitar, and I keep the $15 million and heck with everybody else.
Yeah, no, but it sells. Like, everybody's streams and sales go up, like, tremendously after the Super Bowl, so you do it for, air quotation marks, free. Like, they were saying, essentially, it's $7.5 million per commercial. He went for 15 minutes. So that generated like over $50 million or something like that. And he's he's gone up 500% in all his streams and sales since the Super Bowl. Wow. Yeah.
I don't doubt that.
So you do it for free too.
I would. I would. Heck, I'd donate the $621 to the charity of my choice. Tony LaMarca gets the last word today. He says, is this his first time tuning in? And it's nice to have you, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in, Tony.
He's coming from YouTube.
From Twitter too.
What do you think of the play at the end of the Super Bowl being the same call as last year? And you've probably seen that split screen by now where the Chiefs ran the exact same play. What did you think of them doing that, Mona?
I will say this to that same point, Travis Kelce.
Did you see what he did?
Yep.
That's the best part.
Sneaky.
Yeah. Oh, wait, are you talking about the fact that he turned to the left there? I'm talking about something else.
What are you talking about?
Watch this. He goes into the end zone. Somebody caught this on a different angle. He goes into the end zone, and he's because of the way he turns, he's facing off to the side, like to the left a little bit, away from whoever that dude was that caught the ball.
Mecole Hardman.
Yeah, I keep forgetting his name.
Yeah, Mecole Hardman.
So Kelce goes off to the left a little bit, and Kelce goes like this without ever looking.
Yep, he knew.
Because
out of his eye, he saw either that safety or corner bite down on him.
Then the play becomes 100%er.
If Mecole Hardman catches that right there. But so that again is one of my reasons why I didn't like Kelce getting upset in that moment, because I thought that play was a setup. Because all during the first two quarters and partially the third quarter, Kelce was somewhat of a decoy to me. And then the next thing you know, he started going to him. And then when he started going to him more, they started to bite down harder on Kelce. And because of that, you opened up Mecole Hardman on that play. Like, oh my God, what a play. But again, when you have playmakers like that on your team, you can do that type of stuff. And I'm all here for that guy. You're right, J-Boy, 20, unless dropped. We ain't got to talk about that because he didn't.
He didn't, but I think he didn't because he had no idea what the situation was.
He did
I'm
not.
Serious? Did you see? I've never seen someone less of a championship-winning play who just kind of acted like it was something in practice.
Yeah.
And then, like about 2 seconds later, he sees the O-line guys are flipping out, and he's going, "What? What'd I do?"
Had no idea. And of course, we at some point, if we hadn't already, we talked about a little bit the understanding of the rules at the end of the game.
Going to talk about that.
Yeah,
that's good stuff. Good stuff.
We'll talk about the rules at the end of that game.
One more show this week. That's tomorrow. Thursday and Friday are going to be off so that Moan can do, some really nice Valentine's things.
Promise some stuff I got to deliver on.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, put this one up last too, man. Real quick. Renee, you're right. I ended up getting it. Much appreciate you for this. This is by far one of it's got a little stand for it too. My little tiny violin. So cool.
That's really, really nice. Julia is trying to, or Julio, I should say here, is trying to. It wasn't that funny. Are you buying flyers for, or flowers for your wife tomorrow? I guess the answer now is no.
DK, okay, we don't do flowers.
Yeah. We How don't, about we, you, Julio?
I'm doing chocolate-covered strawberries for the wife. She was like, flowers die. Unless you're going to get those flowers that last like a year.
I mean, the strawberries don't make it either.
At least there's some satisfaction out of that, DK.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you don't eat the flowers. Yeah. All right, guys. Tomorrow, one more show this week, and that's tomorrow. Bye-bye.
See you.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.